This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A Thursday night vigil in Washington, D.C., one day after two Israeli embassy members were shot and killed outside the Jewish Museum. In a video statement, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said Yaron Leshinsky and Sarah Milgram had planned to marry.
Yaron had just bought an engagement ring for Sarah. He was planning to give it to her in Jerusalem next week.
The DOJ is saying it's actively pursuing hate and terrorism charges. The Trump administration has now revoked Harvard University's ability to enroll international students. Harvard calls the move unlawful, the administration accusing Harvard of failing to cooperate with its investigation into alleged anti-Semitic and DEI policies. The Supreme Court Thursday releasing a 4-4 decision on religious charter schools out of Oklahoma. Justice Amy Coney Barrett recusing herself from the case. So with the deadlock on a decision to establish the first public religious charter school, a lower court's decision which deemed the school unconstitutional stands. This is ABC News. Jack Teixeira, the 23-year-old serving 15 years in federal prison for leaking top-secret clearance and classified documents on the gaming platform Discord, has appealed to President Trump for a pardon. He calls his case politicized under the Biden administration. Teixeira, speaking exclusively to ABC News from federal prison, says he doesn't feel that he betrayed his country and he still believes in his actions.
I don't feel that I betrayed my country at all. Just the opposite. I believe that I educated a lot of the people who have been kept in the dark and who were being lied to about this. Concerning all of the things that had been going on.
Some of the documents that he leaked when he was a Massachusetts Air National Guard member related to troop movements in Ukraine and details of the Chinese spy balloons. The White House Thursday releasing a report from its Make America Healthy Again Commission about chronic disease across the country. The report blaming many illnesses on ultra-processed foods, environmental chemicals, and digital device usage among kids. It also suggested studying childhood vaccines further. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Dr. Kristen Lierley is here. You just came from an OBGYN conference.
They had a lube bar because there are lots of different kinds of personal lubricants that you can use.
When you say lube, do you need that to give birth the woman?
No, it's for sex. I recommend generally a water-based lube.
Are you writing this down, Conrad?
I cannot speak right now.
Is he blushing?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
A big night for Yelly. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers managed to get a win despite a long rain delay. They beat the Pittsburgh Pirates 8-5. Christian Yelich, who was just 2-for-34 in his last at-bats, hit two home runs with four runs batted in to break out of his slump.
Yeah, I mean, it feels good. Pretty tough start to the year and been grinding, but it's part of the game, you know. And, you know, these guys have been trying to pick me up all year with finding ways to score runs, and nice to see some stuff pay off.
NFL, after a week of team workouts, it's the Packers' annual softball game tonight, started by Brett Favre, then hosted by Donald Driver, and now Jordan Love.
We're excited. My second year, kind of helping run the show. I know last year Donald was a big part of it, and he kind of passed the torch, which was pretty cool. So it's going to be 25th anniversary is pretty special. Obviously, the game's been going on for a long time, so to be able to, you know, take the torch and kind of just carry it and keep it going.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll see a few clouds in the overnight. Otherwise, temperatures quite chilly as we reach the upper 30s to lower 40s. Our winds will be light. Friday starting off with sunshine, but there will be partly cloudy skies at the end of the afternoon. Highs in the mid-60s. Currently 46 degrees.
Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we update all the latest news, lightening things up in hour number two. We talk to the Madison Mallards and Tyler Moss from Milwaukee Record. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Because probably.
It's
not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong, they tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
And not everything I'm going to talk about today is illegal, but everything that I'm going to talk about today is bad for regular Americans.
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
I'm a geek. I'm a nerd. I'm a data wonk.
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I talk about food a lot on the show. It's a thing. I am a foodie.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everyone. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Thursday to everyone. If you have been listening in the last hour, we were very lucky to have our friend from the Center for American Progress Action Fund here to talk about what veterans' health care can look like and might look like as the next days and weeks unfold after the House's adoption of the budget reconciliation bill. All of this in lead up to Memorial Day and our nationwide observances. Well, I have two very special guests that are joining me this afternoon from the Disabled American Veterans. First, we have Commander Gregory Paolo. We are also joined by Al LaBelle, who's on the Legislative Committee and helps lead the Wisconsin Benefits Protection Division. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us. And let me just say this first. Thank you for your service in protection of our country. It is appreciated and deeply respected. Greg, Commander, if I can start with you this afternoon. For folks that may not be aware, tell us a little bit about Disabled American Veterans, your organization.
The Disabled American Veterans was founded in 1920, and we were chartered by Congress in 1932. We are a charitable, VA-accredited, nonprofit veteran service organization, and our mission is to ensure veterans lead high-quality lives with respect and dignity. We are the world's largest organization of service injured wartime veterans. And we are at a national level of nearly 1 million members. And our Wisconsin membership exceeds 13,000 members.
Wow. Large organization. Are all of your members injured in service? Or do they also include veterans who were not injured in service but became disabled later?
It's a veteran who has been disabled or injured in service, and it does not have to be in conflict. Training, other mishaps, moving from one station to another station, any type of an injury while you are on active duty makes you eligible to be a member.
Thanks so much. Al, if you can tell me a little bit about the sort of services that you provide to your 1 million wartime men and women that are part of your organization.
Yes, Maggie. But before I do that, I just want to add on that what Commander said is accurate. But there's also another category that might occur, and that is, say, you're a paratrooper who at 28 years old has done 30 jumps, I feel great, whatever. Suddenly they're 50 years old and their back's bothering them or their knees are shot. So that might be one way. Might be a delayed injured in service, but yes, they would be eligible to be a member.
That's important that. Now, as an old has-been college athlete who's done zero parachute jumps, I can tell you my knees, not so good, my friend. I completely understand what you're saying. Tell us, Al, if you wouldn't mind continuing, tell us a little bit about the services that you offer to your membership.
Well, first of all, we help more than 1 million veterans each year in life-changing ways with benefits, transportation, advocacy, employment, and volunteerism. Benefits, we have a office in Milwaukee. All our services, incidentally, are free.
Well, that's an important detail. Free.
Yes.
That's big.
So anyways, we have what I call national service offices in 50 states and Puerto Rico. Our national service officers are highly trained. And again, professional assistance to veterans and their families in obtaining VA and other government benefits. Our national service officers are all service injured wartime veterans who are attorney. In fact, again, our office, national service office, is at the VA regional office in Milwaukee, and they can be reached by calling 414-202-5736. That number again is 414-902-5736, just in case we have a listener who is a veteran and is having bad knees and he was a paratrooper.
Folks, that is Al LaBelle. He is on the legislative committee. He also heads up the Wisconsin Benefits Protection Team for the Disabled American Veterans. He's joined by Commander Gregory Paulo. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. Again, that number, if you are a disabled vet, disabled, injured in service, and you are in the Wisconsin area, you can call the Milwaukee office at 414-902-5736. That's 414-902-5736. And as we always do on this fine program, we will put the website for the Disabled American Veterans and that phone number in the notes from today's show. So if you missed that, don't worry. We will give it to you. You can find the show notes by going to civicmedia.us/shows. Commander, if I can ask you next.
Could I just add
please.
One thing in there? We have a national service office in all 50 states and Puerto Rico. And if somebody is traveling around and needs to get a hold of the phone number is accessible at any VA regional office. You could get a phone number for our regional office.
Thanks so much, Commander. I wanted to ask you guys about this because I've got a number of uncles who served, and my parents have helped one of my uncles navigate the system to obtain benefits. It is complicated. Both of my folks are retired. It was basically like a full-time job for them for well over a year, again, getting all of the benefits that one of my uncles was entitled to. So how do you ensure, do you have, is like a social worker assigned to the veteran or their attorney, in fact, to help them navigate the system? Do you have general training sessions for people? Because this is a really challenging process, especially if you yourself are the disabled veteran. You've got all this administration and paperwork and follow-up that's required. How do you help people navigate that system? Commander, let's start with you, if you don't mind.
You would start by going to the National Service Office, and you could access that by getting a hold of any DAV member, and they would be able to forward you that way. Also, in almost every one of our chapters, we have service officers that are out in the area and are close. They do preliminary workups on you, and then send the paperwork to the service office in Milwaukee. And from there, they will submit it for you. And your whole time that your paperwork is with the VA, the National Service Office personnel monitor and follow your progress. And if there's ever any problems that come up or arise with your paperwork and everything, then they're right on it. And sometimes they'll answer it for you because it's just a minor glitch in the system, or they'll get a hold of you and get the answer and give it back for you. But they are constantly monitoring what's happening with your claim.
Wow, Commander, that is, I'm so encouraged to hear that because, again, I've talked with my own family members. Gosh, how would anybody manage this if they didn't have people to help them? And that is part of your organization's mission. Again, folks, this is the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm talking to two representatives of the Disabled American Veterans. We've got Al LaBelle and Commander Gregory Paulo. Al, I wanted to ask you about this. One of the things that I've chatted with my uncles about a few times, the two that are still able to do so often drive long distances to help get other vets to their medical appointments at their local VA center. The Disabled American Veterans, you folks address these transportation issues. Can you tell us a little bit more about your transportation services that you provide to disabled vets?
Yeah, it's an extensive program which provides free rides to veterans who have difficulty getting to and from their scheduled VA medical appointments. Nationwide, last year we gave 235,000 rides. And in Wisconsin, we have 43 volunteer-driven vans. Perhaps you may have seen one crisscrossing the state. And last year, we gave over 16,000 veterans rides to their scheduled VA appointments. Maggie, may I go back to the benefits again?
Of course.
There's two ways. If you're a veteran, and I'm not sure the scope of your program, how far it goes, but you can go to the DAV National website and find your local DAV chapter. It's in one of the drop downs, and just contact the DAV chapter. As Commander Paulo said, there's a chapter service officer that'll help you initiate a claim. Also, we have what is called informational seminars, which we periodically put on and publicize. Like last year, I live in Marshfield. That's where my chapter is. Last year, we publicized it, and we had quite a few people show up. So those are a couple ways that if you're a veteran and you're wondering, hey, am I eligible for a benefit? Those are a couple methods that you might use.
Wonderful. Thank you. That is Al LaBelle. Mr. LaBelle, you may live in Marshfield now, but I'm going to hazard a wild guess that you may not have been from Marshfield, Wisconsin originally, sir.
How did you guess?
some very keen sense of intuition I have.
Massachusetts.
Massachusetts, sir. We've got Al LaBelle and we've got Commander Greg Paulo, both of the Disabled American Veterans. We're going to have more of a discussion with these gentlemen about the other services that the DAV provides to disabled vets here in Wisconsin and across the 50 states and Puerto Rico. We're going to have their website, the number from the Milwaukee chapter, all in our show notes. So don't worry if you missed any of that. But you're not going to want to miss any of my upcoming conversation with these two fine veterans. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
Eagle, 1490 AM.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Dr. Kristen Lierley is here. You just came from an OBGYN conference.
They had a lube bar because there are lots of different kinds of personal lubricants that you can use.
When you say lube, do you need that to give birth the woman?
No, it's for sex. I recommend generally a water-based lube.
Are you writing this down, Conrad?
I cannot speak right now.
Is he blushing?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is brought on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, lucky for you, I just so happen to be a lawyer, which is highly relevant for today's conversation. This morning, the Supreme Court heard arguments from the Trump administration challenging the ability of U.S. federal district courts to enter injunctions prohibiting the Trump administration from enforcing a patently, facially unconstitutional executive order nationwide. That's the particular procedural posture of this case. My argument, what I offer to you this afternoon, is that's just stupid. Now, perhaps in the past, when presidential administrations didn't actively do, purposefully so, things that are facially unconstitutional, limiting the reach of a district court's injunction might make sense, you know, when the government actually operated in good faith. We don't have that today. And so the question is, if the Supreme Court rules that every single federal district court and potentially every single individual impacted by the federal government's patently unconstitutional action has to bring their own lawsuit or seek class certification, which can maybe get there eventually, what happens in the meanwhile as the federal government denies rights to individuals in direct contravention of our Constitution? Imagine, if you will, if it was your right to bear arms, would you be satisfied in having to bring each case individually or waiting for a federal court to go through the lengthy process of determining whether or not a class action was appropriate? If the federal government were coming to take your guns, I would suggest many of the people who are defending the Trump administration today would take to the streets and demand the courts do something. Let's take a listen. This is Justice Kagan in an exchange with the Trump administration's lawyer this morning. This is Cut 26.
I'm just going to ask you to put yourself in a different frame of mind. Hard to do. Assume something you won't want to assume. But the assumption that I want you to make is that on the merits, which of course you did not take to this court, on the merits you are wrong, that the EO is unlawful. And I want to ask you, if we assume that, how do we get to that result on your view of the rules?
It is very difficult for me to attempt the hypothetical, but I will.
You know, I think that that's the important question in this case. Let's just assume you're dead wrong. How do we get to that result? Does every single person that is affected by this EO have to bring their own suit? Are there alternatives? How long does it take? How do we get to the result that there is a single rule of citizenship that is not, that is the rule that we've historically applied rather than the rule that the EO would have us do?
Rule 23 would be one natural path, assuming that a class could be certified, which we might dispute in this particular case.
Well, you might dispute it. And, you know, I mean, I think the question is there a class that's just all children of people who have entered illegally? Is that an appropriate class? Can the same thing be done under Rule 23? Or are you going to tell me that, no, Rule 23 has lots of requirements and you'll never be able to certify a class like that?
Rule 23 provides the equitable tools subject to rigorous criteria, appropriately rigorous criteria, to obtain that kind of class-wide
interim. That suggests to me you're going to be standing up here in the next case saying that Rule 23 is inapt for this circumstance with this number of people, maybe with some questions that are individual, who knows. So let's put Rule 23 aside, because I got to tell you, that does not fill me with great confidence. How else are we going to get to the right result here, which is on my assumption that the EO is illegal?
What you heard there about Rule 23 is that he's saying you have to go the class action route. And what Justice Kagan is responding with, well, that takes a whole lot of time. So what happens to the people whose rights are being violated while all of that sorts out? Why isn't a nationwide injunction the appropriate pathway to protect constitutional rights? Now, all of this begs a bigger question, which is presidents aren't kings. So what then? Let's take Cut 30. This is Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson.
Let me just turn your attention to one other thing, because the real concern, I think, is that your argument seems to turn our justice system, in my view at least, into a catch-me-if-you-can kind of regime from the standpoint of the executive, where everybody has to have a lawyer and file a lawsuit in order for the government to stop violating people's rights. Justice Kagan says, let's assume for the purpose of this that you're wrong about the merits, that the government is not allowed to do this under the Constitution, and yet it seems to me that your argument says we get to keep on doing it until everyone who is potentially harmed by it figures out how to file a lawsuit, hire a lawyer, et cetera. And I don't understand how that is remotely consistent with the rule of law. You know, a system, and I appreciate that you go back to English common law and the Chancery Court, but they had a different system. The fact that courts back in English Chancery couldn't enjoin the king, I think, is not analogous or indicative of what courts can do in our system, where the king, quote unquote, the executive, is supposed to be bound by the law. And the court has the power to say what the law is. And so one would think that the court could say, this conduct is unlawful and you have to stop doing it.
Duh. That's my super technical legal argument. Like, duh. The courts should, of course, be able to say, Mr. King, I'm sorry, Mr. President, what you're doing is unconstitutional and you must stop. Because what is at stake is the daily violation of fundamental constitutional rights. And if we all got to go get a lawyer and we all got to run to court in each and every federal district, we are doomed. Then the Constitution is nothing but a set of suggestions that a king, excuse me, president, can either choose to observe or not on any given day. We deserve better. Folks, when we come back, we're going to talk about how to fill the gaps when the government fails your child's education and what to do if these federal education cuts go through.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A Thursday night vigil in Washington, D.C., one day after two Israeli embassy members were shot and killed outside the Jewish Museum. In a video statement, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said Yaron Leshinsky and Sarah Milgram had planned to marry.
Yaron had just bought an engagement ring for Sarah. He was planning to give it to her in Jerusalem next week.
The DOJ is saying it's actively pursuing hate and terrorism charges. The Trump administration has now revoked Harvard University's ability to enroll international students. Harvard calls the move unlawful, the administration accusing Harvard of failing to cooperate with its investigation into alleged anti-Semitic and DEI policies. The Supreme Court Thursday releasing a 4-4 decision on religious charter schools out of Oklahoma. Justice Amy Coney Barrett recusing herself from the case. So with the deadlock on a decision to establish the first public religious charter school, a lower court's decision which deemed the school unconstitutional stands. This is ABC News.
A big night for Yelly. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers managed to get a win despite a long rain delay. They beat the Pittsburgh Pirates 8-5. Christian Yelich, who was just 2-for-34 in his last at-bats, hit two home runs with four runs batted in to break out of his slump.
Yeah, I mean, it feels good. Pretty tough start to the year and been grinding, and, but it's part of the game, you know. And, you know, these guys have been trying to pick me up all year with finding ways to score runs, and nice to see some stuff pay off.
NFL, after a week of team workouts, it's the Packers annual softball game tonight, started by Brett Favre, then hosted by Donald Driver, and now Jordan Love.
We're excited. My second year kind of helping run the show. I know last year Donald was a big part of it, and he kind of passed the torch, which is pretty cool. So it's going to be 25th anniversary is pretty special. Obviously the game's been going on for a long time, so to be able to, you know, take the torch and kind of just carry it and keep it going.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The summer box office kicks into high gear this weekend with two huge releases squaring off for your hard-earned money. Let's start with The Granddaddy, which is the final installment of the Mission Impossible franchise, at least for now. Mission Impossible: The Final Reckoning continues the story from 2 years ago, where we left with a train hanging off a cliff. The film is pulling about an 80% on Rotten Tomatoes because some critics apparently don't know how to party. Not to be outdone, the live-action version of Lilo and Stitch also opens this weekend and is also anticipating massive returns at the gate. In the film, which is pulling a 73% on Rotten Tomatoes, a fugitive alien helps a young Hawaiian girl heal her dysfunctional family. If you're looking for some good old-fashioned, cringeworthy adult comedy, check out the film Friendship, which goes into wider release this weekend. If you're in a small town, you might have to road trip for the laughs, but it might be worth it as it's pulling a 90% on RT. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll see a few clouds in the overnight. Otherwise, temperatures quite chilly as we reach the upper 30s to lower 40s. Our winds will be light. Friday starting off with sunshine, but there will be partly cloudy skies at the end of the afternoon. Highs in the mid-60s. Right now, it's 48.
Matt and Air on Air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had four meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top three things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt and Air on Air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Because probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwalbe.
On the next Nightlight, it's an all-star pre-recorded cast of guests with WBAY's Emerson Lehman, director Michael Collins, Civic Media's Eliza Cusson, and Terry Barr for Bar Band Friday Night.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I don't know about you all, but like, I feel better after talking to our two last guests. We just had on, and I want to again give a big, big heartfelt thanks to Commander Greg Apollo and Al LaBelle of the DAV. Mr. LaBelle correcting me as we took care of some final matters off the air. The organization prefers to be called the DAV, so my apologies for getting that wrong, and my thanks for the correction. We're always trying to learn here together. Again, if you want to learn more about the DAV, go to dav-wi.org. The number to the Milwaukee chapter, 414-902-5736. That's 414-902-5736. It's like I don't want to go back into the partisan hammering after that. I was talking with Mr. LaBelle. We're going to have him back on because part of what the DAV does is they have an extensive advocacy program where they will talk with legislators to advance and to advocate for our veteran community. They just had a large event this past April 22nd. They were at the Capitol here in our state. They had over 400 veterans in attendance. So we're going to have Mr. LaBelle back on the show to talk to him about veterans issues. While I don't really relish the idea of getting back into the partisan wrangling, we do have to address the business of the day. And I wouldn't really be doing my job if I didn't point out that one of our congresspeople, a veteran himself, and also a guy who received food stamps, has had some things to say about continuing support and potential cuts to the VA. I think we got to take a listen. This is Representative Derek Van Orten talking about cuts to the VA.
Here's what happened. Mr. Secretary, I had my crack graphics team draw this up so I can explain to some people what's going on. Here it is, right there. That's the whole VA. This is the problem with the VA. Okay? This is the increase in bureaucrats. These are the doctors. It's almost a flat line, and then we have an increase with the veterans because of the PAC Act, right? So when we are going to cut the VA, and I hope you do, sir, this is where you need to make the cut, right there, in this line, right there, sir. If Mr. Secretary, if you cut this, then this line with the doctors and stuff, the people that are actually touching our veterans and providing care can go like this, right? And then we can match the increase with vets. So, Mr. Secretary, I'm incredibly happy and looking forward to working with you and your administration. And if there's anything, just if you have a top-line item that we can do from the congressional side, power of the person, all that stuff, if you could, you know, rattle off one or two of them, it would be great. We will write these down, and we'll take it for action.
Yeah, let's support cuts to the VA. It's just, I guess, there's a saying in the law, it's res ipsa loquitur, it's fancy Latin speak for the thing speaks for itself. I think the thing speaks for itself, do you not? And on that big, brutal bill, every single Wisconsin congressperson voting for the bill in the middle of the night because they were proud of it or not. Again, Congressman Van Orton, who pledged to never cut emergency food assistance, just broke that promise and voted to cut emergency food assistance. 18 million kids are likely to lose their school lunches. 14 million Americans will lose their health care. And what we found out in the last, 40 hours, somewhere in that ballpark, this big, brutal bill will also cut $500 billion from Medicare. So not just Medicaid, ladies and gentlemen. That's $880 billion. Another $300 billion from emergency food assistance. And yes, $500 million will be cut from Medicare, starting next year. That's what we're looking at. Oh, and then there's this. Thought I'd tell you about the, quote, manager's amendments. You know, the stuff that they stuck in to the big brutal bill right at the last minute. Some interesting provisions. There's, of course, the tanning salon exemption. Weird. Why are they worried about tanning beds? I don't know. That was one of them. Inexplicable. I'm sure there's some reason. But here are some of the additional last minute. Just squeak this in. I'm sure no one will pay any attention since it's 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning. The amendment struck language that would have calculated the retirement payments for federal employees based on the average of a worker's 5 years of highest income instead of the last 3 years. So, yeah, Screw those federal workers. Yep, check, check. Let's see here. Oh, gun silencers. Representative Andrew Clyde of Georgia had already won the elimination of a $200 transfer tax on gun silencers. So, you know, we don't want to tax the buying and selling of silencers because that might, maybe disincentivize the buying and selling of silencers. That's something that we want to incentivize, I guess, for Andrew Clyde of Georgia. But he got more in the wee small hours. It also strikes now the $200 tax on the manufacture of gun silencers and otherwise completely remove silencers from the regulatory oversight, the purview of the National Firearms Act. You know, the thing that you put on a firearm so it doesn't sound like a firearm? Yeah, that's no longer regulatable under the National Firearms Act. We can thank Representative Andrew Clyde of Georgia for that. Check, check. Here's another one, manager's amendment. The sale of public lands in Nevada and Utah, that was eliminated. Let's see here. Language inserted, allowing for the sale of public lands was struck. Members in those states wanted the provision, but Representative Ryan Zinke of Montana stood firm against using land sales to raise revenue for the megabelt. Well, that might be a plus. They actually stopped some public land sales. Who knew? I don't think because they want to keep the land, they just don't want to raise revenue that way. Okay. Trump accounts. Oh, yes. This one's fun. The Ways and Means Committee included a new tax advantage savings vehicle, which isn't actually tax advantaged at all. I can get into that explanation. I used to run a 401k style plan. I know a little thing, two, three things about this. They were going to call them MAGA accounts. Last night, they figured, we should actually call those Trump accounts. Call those Trump accounts. And again, tanning salons. Oh, abortion. There was something they snuck in there about abortion. The new language is going to restrict payments to ACA plans that offer abortion in any situation other than rape and incest. So if you if you do not have employer-provided health insurance and you have to go get health insurance on the ACA exchange, no health insurance for abortions for you, even if they're legal in your state. Yes, because We know that making abortion illegal saves women's lives and reduces the infant mortality rate. Oh, wait, checks notes. No, it actually has the opposite effect. Maternal mortality goes up. So does infant mortality. And but at least there's fewer abortions. Oh, wait, checks notes. No, that's not true either. So much for the pro-life argument. This is probably my favorite in the big brutal belt. Like, again, aside from this being the largest tax welfare plan for 100 billionaires, gazillionaires, the Elon Musks of the world, and mega corporations, aside from that, and aside from the fact that it's the largest gutting of health insurance and emergency food assistance in our nation's history. You know, aside from all of that, these other things are interesting too. There was this little provision snuck in last night. This is on the remittance tax. Doesn't that sound boring? Sounds really uninteresting, doesn't it? Remittance tax. That amendment scales back tax on overseas remittances. That means when you bring money back from all of your many bank accounts abroad, right, Jacob? You've got a couple hundy bank accounts abroad. We're international men and women of mystery here at Civic Media. Yeah, got rid of that tax on those remittances. Scales it back, actually, from 5% to 3.5%. Because why? Because only rich people have money in bank accounts abroad. Let's not collect that revenue. We need less revenue. We just gave away $22 billion for what? All those regular people with those bank accounts abroad. Yeah, that was $22 billion. Gone. And last but certainly not least, last minute, 2-3 a.m. revisions to the bill, rolled back a whole mess of green energy initiatives under former President Joe Biden. Because, weather is not getting more extreme, Jacob. It's just like it was a decade ago, right? If you guys don't know Jacob, he's the quiet man behind all of the machinery that makes sure that you can hear my voice. I appreciate him dearly. He laughs at my jokes silently. I hope you're chuckling along as well. Yeah, well, that is the big, brutal bill. Keep an eye on that one. The worst is yet to come. I want to talk to you all a bit about the intentional infliction of emotional harm, which is a tort. You can sue someone for this. And Jacob, do you have this Russell Vote sound ready to go? We're going to listen to the guy that Donald Trump picked to head up the Office of Management and Budget. In regular people speak, this dude is the HR director of the entire federal government. And this is what he had to say about how they plan to treat federal workers.
We want the bureaucrats to be traumatically affected. We want, when they wake up in the morning, we want them to not want to go to work because they are increasingly viewed as the villains. We want their funding to be shut down so that the EPA can't do all of the rules against our energy industry because they have no bandwidth financially to do so. We want to put them in trauma.
We're going to play this again. This is Russell Vogt, the HR director of the entire federal government in 2023 at a private dinner. Run it again.
We want the bureaucrats to be traumatically affected. We want, when they wake up in the morning, we want them to not want to go to work because they are increasingly viewed as the villains. We want their funding to be shut down so that the EPA can't do all of the rules against our energy industry because they have no bandwidth financially to do so. We want to put them in trauma.
We want to put them in trauma. This ain't about fraud, waste, and abuse. Don't get it twisted. Never has, never will be. That is garbage. That is a lie. And there you hear it right on tape. And that intentional infliction of emotional distress, it has had real costs. I'm going to tell you about them on the other side. This is the Civic Media.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Barrio. Senator Tammy Baldwin presses EPA head Lee Zeldin on Great Lakes funding at a hearing on Capitol Hill. The exchange came just 1 week after Clean Wisconsin, the Healing Our Waters Coalition, and Alliance for the Great Lakes met with Baldwin to stress the importance of fully funding the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative. Zeldin ended up going on record saying the protections would be funded. Wisconsin's muskie season is here. Northern muskie season opens May 24th and runs through the end of the year. This is the 70th anniversary of the muskellunge being proclaimed our official state fish back in 1955. The biggest muskie ever caught was in 1949 near Hayward, weighing in at more than 69 pounds. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Dr. Kristen Lierley is here. You just came from an OBGYN conference.
They had a lube bar because there are lots of different kinds of personal lubricants that you can use.
When you say lube, do you need that to give birth the woman?
No, it's for sex. I recommend generally a water-based lube.
Are you writing this down, Conrad?
I cannot speak right now.
Is he blushing?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Farm Rescue makes sure that you aren't alone. They're there to extend the hand and to take the burden.
Even the most independent farmers need help sometimes, and asking for that help is protecting the future. Farm Rescue provides equipment and volunteers free of charge to assist in times of crisis. We're currently accepting applications for planting and haying assistance. If you or someone you know could use our help, call 701-252-2017 or visit farmrescue.org.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. The gig is up because what's in the bill is in the bill. And what we know is it's going to make the rich richer, the poor poorer. It's going to make life harder for all of us in the middle. Fact. Kids are going to go hungry. People are going to lose insurance. Grandma's getting kicked out of the nursing home. It's all happening. There'll be less veterans benefits. And none of this has ever been, none of it has ever been about efficiency. And I listen, as an economist, I'll be the first one to tell you, yep, government should be more efficient. I've worked in government. I tried to accomplish that. I think I did. Sometimes it requires breaking things a bit and changing it up. But don't get it twisted. What Elon Musk, the billionaire overlords, his posse of post-pubescent boy tech bros, they're not trying to fix it. They're trying to irretrievably break it. And part of that is being executed by terrorizing federal employees, by arresting judges, arresting congresspeople, arresting mayors, threatening universities. And we know this because they're saying it out loud. They also wrote it down in the thing called Project 2025, but, you know, we didn't know anything about that before the election. Oh, oops. And we know it because they've said it actually out loud. Russell Vogt, the HR director of the entire federal government, said it out loud at a private dinner in 2023. Listen.
We want the bureaucrats to be traumatically affected. We want, when they wake up in the morning, we want them to not want to go to work. Because they are increasingly viewed as the villains. We want their funding to be shut down so that the EPA can't do all of the rules against our energy industry because they have no bandwidth financially to do so. We want to put them in trauma.
That's it. That's the con. And a federal judge yesterday called them on the con. They've been trying to shut down the Department of Education. I'll talk about that tomorrow or Monday. I'll read from you the decision. But the judge said, no, this isn't about efficiency. There's no evidence. You also haven't made it more efficient. It's about destroying the department. You got to go to Congress for that. But this intentional infliction of emotional distress, which in other countries and other states, depending on which state in the union, you actually can sue someone for doing, it's having real world consequences. America's rarely seen job losses on this scale ever in our history. To date, 130,000 people are out of a job, more coming. Before that, IBM canned about 60,000 people in 93. That was the worst we had. Decades of data. Look at any studies about job loss. It's more traumatic than divorce. It's more traumatic than being cheated on, than going blind or deaf. And that's what they're doing intentionally. It's not about making it better. It's not about making it work better. It's not about fraud. It's about destroying the programs that every one of you listening knows someone who relies upon. And there are humane, rational ways to reduce workforces, to figure out how much to reduce a workforce. You can look to the Clinton era. Some of that was done then. But according to reporting from the Washington Post, real people are having real physical reactions, real physical symptoms of stress. And some people who may be, or maybe already were perhaps psychologically vulnerable, people are being pushed to the edge and beyond. I can't say it causes it, because who knows? People have other health factors. But one could reasonably ask, but for all of this workplace trauma, would these many people be getting this sick and or dying? Because Russell Vogt and Donald Trump and billionaire overlords want to break the back of every federal employee and destroy the federal government. So I'm going to call out the two names in that article from the Washington Post. Again, this ain't cause and effect. I'm not saying that. But when someone sets out to cause trauma, is that really okay? Monique Lockett, 53, died on the job after her workload expanded exponentially after many people were fired from her department. She worked in Social Security. And mother, Caitlin Cross Barnett, she advocated for Medicaid. She had mental health struggles, but she took her life after being fired. Is it okay to actually be intentionally cruel? Is it okay to intentionally want to cause trauma? Because if we look past what's being said by the MAGA regime's elected officials and we look to the impact of their policies, trauma and cruelty seem to be the only thing that is being reaped. That's going to do it for me. Please take care of yourselves. If you have thoughts of suicide, please dial 988 and talk to someone. My name is Maggie Dawn. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me, but it is always better when we stand together here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. We've now learned all six on board a small plane that crashed Thursday morning in a San Diego neighborhood have died. Remarkably, no one on the ground was killed, just eight people with minor injuries. In Washington, D.C.'s Lafayette Park, a vigil Thursday night for the two Israeli embassy members who were shot and killed outside the Jewish Museum after the shooting. Recordings show the suspect yelling, "Free Palestine." An escalation in the battle between Harvard University and the Trump administration, which is now barring Harvard from allowing international students to enroll. Ryan Enos is a Harvard professor of government.
This seems like an example of the Trump administration acting in a clearly authoritarian manner. They're trying to punish a institution in the United States for not bending to its political will and doing it by attacking international students.
Foreign students accounting for more than a quarter of Harvard's student body. This is ABC News. More than